can be there. You see, a lot of the diseases they had in Egypt is because of ignorance and blindness and uncleanness and lack of the laws of hygiene and all those things that are necessary to keep the body well, and not knowing what to eat. You see, people were eating all kind of junk things, and God told them what to eat and what not to eat. And by the way, listening to the tape about that, that we mentioned earlier, about the clean and unclean, I noticed that I was saying that there were no lions in the land. I meant elephants, because obviously lions were in the land. Sometimes you don't realize what you're saying until you're listening to yourself. And anyway, lions certainly were everywhere, but elephants were not, and you know, many other animals that were not there. But in either case, God was giving His people laws that if they followed them, if they ate the right things, and if they ate the right spiritual food likewise, they would not get sick. You see, when you eat jealousy and envy, you see, and malice, you know, the fruit of the flesh, that's what I call the fruit, you know, something you eat, you know, you ingest it, and from your head it goes to your stomach, and it creates all those acids, you know, within your stomach, and your stomach is churning all the time, and, you know, it gives you, besides stomachache, all kind of other things that destroy the body, because it produces a lot of poisons in the body, and it's medically proven, you know, that your thoughts and attitudes, if you are laughing, you know, or have a humorous nature, your body will produce good things for the body, going to calm you down and help your immune system. But if, on the other hand, you're angry all the time and you're wrathful and you're distressed and uptight and, you know, a person, you know, lacking in faith, and therefore you worry all the time, your body will produce, your stomach will produce a lot of acid and a lot of poisons that will destroy your body eventually, one way or the other, or afflict you or oppress you and, you know, reduce your immune system capacity to fight diseases. So, you know, all these things are matters of law, revealed law, and man didn't have to go and do research and didn't have to go to libraries, didn't have to go to a medical school, spend so many years, didn't have to spend, you know, billions and billions of dollars, you know, that is of dollars, to come up with new medicine. You know, the pharmaceutical industry, there was no reason in the world whatsoever for that pharma, you know, this industry to ever be in existence the way it is today. Because the Levitical priesthood had all that information and knowledge divinely revealed by God, including all the knowledge about herbs. That's where you find in the New Testament, you know, the mention of Luke the physician. What does it mean, Luke the physician? You know, people think it's just something, he was a medical doctor. No, he was not. You see, he was not a medical doctor like, you know, we know today. That's the information that was entrusted to the Levitical priesthood. This is where he got it from. This is where people were supposed to get it from, as the priest would teach people how to live right. And that's the way it was. And so anyway, this is what we're going through now. It's not just a boring subject. That involves your life, your health. And how many people today, you know, that you know all around you, how many people you're praying for because of that? You know, wasting your time in that sense, you know, quote-unquote, wasting your time, when you should have been spending that time praising God. Well, instead, the reality is, so many people are sick and have to spend so much time praying for sick people. Why are they sick? You see, we've polluted the environment, we've polluted food, we've polluted the water, we've done all these things, we've polluted the body, and you've got all these sicknesses, besides the fact that people are not obeying laws of health, as divinely revealed by God, and eat all kind of junk food. Not only the unclean food, you see, which many people obviously, when they know the law of God, they avoid, but they eat the fat, a lot of salt, a lot of all kind of hydrogenated food, you know, which means plastic in your food that you eat it. You know what it does to the body. And people just, you know, everything in sight, like children, they put everything in their mouth. They're not aware of the fact that there are laws. They're not aware of the fact of how God feels about it when we defy those laws, when we despise them, when we have contempt for them, when we destroy the body. And God warned us, anybody who does that, I'm going to destroy him. And many of us are being destroyed, literally. You see, with all kind of evil diseases. And then we cry to God, oh God, help us. And we plead with others to pray for us. How about us doing our part? Paying attention to it, studying the law of God, showing respect, you know, to the so-called, you know, boring areas of the Bible that teach us about the medical profession, in other words, the health of our own body, that deals with sickness and disease and all the things that we should avoid, all the things that we should do to be well. Just like we're supposed to do it in terms of our spirit, our nature, our character, so it is with the body. The two go together. You cannot, you know, respect the laws of God that have to do with the spirit and despise the laws of God that have to do with the flesh, because that's what you are. That's what the person is all about, spirit and body. You see? You cannot have contempt for one, you know, that's what people say, that's the attitude they developed in the false religion, you see, out of which many of us came, which says, oh, well, just physical things, you know, old stuff, Old Testament stuff, you know, washings and diverse, you know, rituals and ceremonies and all these kind of things. We just go for the moral law, you see. That's, you know, that's a height of idiocy and ignorance and blindness, and that's why God is bemoaning, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now that it's not available, it's in the book and everybody has it on their lap or in their library on the bookshelf. And several of them, some people have. And those who don't, you know, anybody can afford it. Even homeless people can afford a Bible. Now people will give it to you for free. So certainly you can afford it. And study that. And get out of those conditions in which we are because of disobedience to the laws of God. And that's why God is bemoaning about His people, His bride, His wife. Imagine that. How miserable it is, you know, for many, many mates, you know, to see their own mates in horrible condition because they are negligent about the law of God. And they make everybody suffer in the process and they impoverish the whole family. You see, that's a crime against humanity. We are the humanity, ourselves. And God is very furious with that. That's why He said, you destroy the body, I'm going to destroy you. You don't respect me, my creation? Imagine that, going to one of the great artists, you know, after, you know, he finishes glorious, beautiful creation, and you come there and you just throw trash on it, or spit on it, or walk all over it. It never dawns on us how God feels when we do it to the creation that He created, you know, in us. The body that He gave us, that David said, how wonderfully You have made me. You see? We have no fear of God, as we should. No wonder why we are where we are. And no wonder why God, in spite of the healing road that He gave us, or the door, you see, the open door for healing that He gave us, you can see that He's not healing everybody because we are despising His laws. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying to the Corinthians. You are not discerning the body of Jesus Christ. Why did He die for our sins? What sins? Only spiritual, not physical? All of them. A sin is a sin. You break one, you break them all. He said, you do not discern the body of Jesus Christ. You have no respect for it. And Jesus Christ said that you should eat My flesh and drink My blood. That's His body also. And when you do, you eat, you know, that means instructions, teachings, the law, from Genesis to Revelation. And then, He said, if you do, you will have life. Not only spiritual, but also physical. Good life. Not a sickly life, not a misery and suffering and sorrow and pain. You see, but abundant life. I came to give you abundant life. You see, life and abundant, you know, life. Not just miserable, you know, just aching a living or the kind of life that we have, you know, where the body barely functions. And many of us are in this category. And that's why Paul said, you know, it's because of that reason. You have no respect for the law of God, for the body of Christ. And he's not talking only about the spiritual concept, but also the physical concept. And so, he added, and because of that, many of you are weakly, and you are sick, and many died. You see? So if we claim to be followers of Christ, members of His body, why are we defiling His body? Just like He said to Saul on the way to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute Me? If we are His body, why do we persecute Jesus Christ? You know, by neglecting the laws of health and defiling His body. That's persecution. Look how many of the members of His body are sick. Think about it, what we are doing. And if you want to end up in the right place, do something about it. Don't just say, oh, well, that's interesting, and forget about it all tomorrow. You see, there's an awful lot of information out there for us to do the right thing. Well, let's continue now with the chapter here in verse 47, where we stopped last time. In verse 48 now, God tells him in verse 47 to get rid even of the clothes, whether it was the wool or linen, you know, just burn it and get rid of it. As Jude, you know, would talk about it, you know, people that help others when they see them in sin, you know, they're pulling them with fear out of the fire, and even and let the clothes be burned, you know, in order to serve the person. So you see the spiritual principle. You got a piece of cloth that is polluted and contaminated, you know, with that disease. Don't spread it around to other members. Burn it. Well, spiritually we do the same thing at times. A lot of people sometimes need to go through a process to be purged and cleansed and purified, and sometimes it's painful. Obviously, oftentimes it's painful. Just like the man in 1 Corinthians 5, you know, that was committing incest with his stepmother. He was going through hell on earth, so to speak, when they put him out and shamed him and humiliated him in public. And all that was not because they hated him, as Paul said, but to bring him to repentance. And when he was out there, knowing that he had no protection from God, and God was hiding his face from him, you can imagine what was going through his mind and his heart, and who knows what happened to him in between. You see? And so God wants us to take all these things seriously. So when we study all these physical things, think about the spiritual connotations and how God revealed to us the process of repentance, not only of the spiritual one, but also the physical, and the two are together, because that's his body. And say, if you were in charge of the temple, you would be very careful about everything. And you would say, well, now just care about the Holy of Holies and all this for the rest. Who cares? You know, God doesn't mind, you know, whatever junk I bring into it, you know, swine, pig, pork, you know, shrimp and lobster, whatever it may be. You see, we don't function like that. And so obviously we should show a lot of respect for what God gave us. And that's not only our own body, but for everything else. That's why Christ tells us, look, you know, if you're not faithful with a little bit that I gave you, you know, who is going to give you, you know, all that belongs to you? You know, eternal life. And so, let's take those kind of things, you know, into consideration when we go about life, you know, as soon as we wake up in the morning. As Paul would say, whatever things you do, do it as unto the Lord. Can you do it unto the Lord by defiling your body and eating junk food? You see, or too much fat, too much sugar, too much salt, too much this and too much that, or whatever it may be, all kind of the junk food that we do eat. Do we think about what it does to our body? Why we are sick, why people are sick, why there are so many evil diseases and more, you know, are coming up. People don't even know where they came from. You see, can we just do all those things and then come and ask for those who do, as it is, many people have lost respect even for that, healing and anointing, and ask, you know, the minister, please, you know, pray for me so the body of Christ, you know, his sacrifice, what he went through, will be applied for me. You see? How do you think Jesus Christ feels about it when we come and ask to do that when we have no respect for his law? And so we cause his death and we continue to do so by continue to sin. You see? And have contempt for his law about health, be it spiritual or physical. And so that's why God, you know, he's taking the people of Israel, all their problems, and they've done a lot of that. You know, they got very ill and very sick in the land of Egypt, and they had a lot of diseases. And so he shows them, he gives them information, he reveals to them lovingly, kindly. You see, he's washing them, removing spots and blemishes with his own blood, with his own love and affection and teaching by the washing of the word. And we must submit to the process if we you know, want to become holy as he is holy and perfect as he is perfect. That's not a suggestion. This is the road we travel once we made a commitment to walk in that direction. If we are not serious about it, let's go to the movies instead and do whatever we want. It's all in vain, you know. For a lot of people, religion is just in vain. We don't just walk with God, you know, and do the things that we can, you know, just the things to get by with. It doesn't work like that. God wants total commitment, or he's not, you know, accepting any one of us, and that's why he told us personally. Anybody, you know, who's making that commitment and begins to plow, you know, with the ox or the horse or whatever it may be, you know, walking in the right direction, and then he's looking backward. All the junk food that they, you know, used to eat in the past, you know, like the children of Israel in the desert, you know, they were remembering all the watermelon and then the zucchinis, you know, and the onion and all that. At least they were thinking about healthy things, you know, healthy food, good stuff, you know, not bad things. A lot of people, you know, they remember all the horrible things they used to eat before that, and that's why many of us went back to eating pork and probably lobster and shrimp and everything else, because they've decided in their own mind, you know, by playing games with their own minds, the law of God is done away with. God doesn't mind whether we eat clean or unclean. You know, in those days they had no refrigeration, all kind of very, very moronic explanations people come up with, showing the level of their intelligence. And therefore now we have refrigeration, and we can keep those things clean. Now we can eat anything. Now we can defile our body all we want. Well, I don't think God will heal any person like that, regardless of how much they cry before Him, when they show open, you know, they put Him, you know, and His sacrifice to an open shame, and they show such contempt and disgust for Him. And every one of us who reads these words, these are the words of God. If we still show contempt to Him and still eat unclean food and still eat, you know, all those things that would defile our body, God is not going to show any respect to any one of us in this life and in the life to come. That's why Paul tells us, hey, our God is a consuming fire. Don't play games with Him. He's not mocked. Whatever we sow, we shall reap. Whatever we eat, we're going to pay the penalty, and the consequences will be there. And the sacrifice of Christ is not going to avail us anything. It wasn't given for everybody, mind you. That's what it says plainly. You see, He died in order to heal or to save many, not everybody. And the many are the ones who are willing to repent, not the ones who are not willing to repent. And that's the reason why the people that do all kind of things, you know, just to get by and do their own thing, they come before Him, knock on the door, and He throws them out. You see? You don't play games with Christ. Now, these are the teachings of Jesus Christ that we are reading here. So let's not say this old stuff, because Jesus Christ is speaking here through Moses and the priesthood. And so in verse 48, we continue. Verse 48, after talking about the clothes, you know, that people should get rid of, and obviously, whatever touched the body that should not be there. And so he says, guy, you know, if you have it in the woolen garment or linen garment, or in the warp or in the woof, whether they be of linen or of wool, or in the skin or in anything made of skin, if the plague be greenish, so he gives them more information. Here it is. You're going to medical school now. That's what the priest went through, and that's what Israel went through. And every year when they read the law, they went through this portion of the law every single year. And then, every seventh year, the entirety of the law was supposed to be read during the feast. And that's what they did there for hours and hours and hours, all day. They were sitting, studying the law, standing, praying, praising God, worshiping God, confessing their sins and iniquities for all the evil that they've committed, because they have not obeyed the law. And then they keep reading more, and the Levites will teach them. And that was the law that God commanded Israel to do every 7 years. And that was the time when the king himself was supposed to go to the temple and pick up the book of the law and read. And that's what you mentioned last time, you know, in the synagogue, when that happened in the temple, when King Agrippa, the king that Paul had an encounter with, a friendly one, he stood there to read the law. The kings were allowed to sit down and read the law, but he stood in honor of the law, and he was highly respected for that. He was a very good king. Well, how many of us have that respect? And that's the reason when the law is being raised in the synagogue and was in the temple and in Israel, everybody stood. Because who is the law? Not only what is the law, who is the law? Who is the epitome of the Word of God? But our Creator, the one that died for us, our husband and maker and ruler and redeemer. And we should have that honor and respect. You know, some people make fun of the Jews when they kiss the Torah and they don't realize what they are doing. It's not, you know, a physical thing that they kiss. It's God Himself That's the only way they can get close to Him. That's the only way they understand it. You see? And that's the respect and honor that they show. In contrast to others who have no respect, and you see them throwing, you know, the Bible everywhere, you know, on the floor, and some people go to the bathroom and read the Bible there. And in contrast, you see that the awesome respect that you find in the Jewish community, to the point that even when they write something and they know that people may throw it away, sometimes, you know, they write down there, please have respect for that and dispose with it, you know, properly in honor, and put it where it should be. And so they, even when the writing, instead of saying God, and that's in a foreign language, you know, it's not even in the Hebrew language, you know, instead of God, they put, you know, the G-D and things like that. Or instead of using His name, not wanting to blaspheme His name or take it in vain, then instead of using the name of God, Yehovah, they say Hashem, the name, and everybody knows what the name means. Of course, that's not His name. You know, He has a name, and God didn't require that of them. But, you know, showing you the respect that people who do understand the law of God, at least to a degree, realize that you do not make fun of anything that God gave us, and you certainly do not make fun of for the spiritual food, and you do not, you know, there is the spiritual instructions and food, and also, obviously, the physical instructions, and that's what we are reading here. So, think about all those things, and then this portion is not going to be as boring as you thought that it was. You're going to see something far beyond that. And that's what David, among other things, was meditating on the law of God day and night, not portions of it only, all of it. That's why Christ said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and we are reading here the word of God. And how many of us are living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And how many of us have decided, well, there are portions that proceed out of the mouth of God, I don't care to listen to or hear, you know, I'd rather go somewhere else. Well, you have this kind of an attitude toward God, you know where you will be when you come before Him. So do yourself a favor. Choose life instead of death. And so that's what God is telling them. But another aspect of the leprosy, verse 49, if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin or in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is the plague of leprosy. See, you don't have to get on the internet and research and things like that, or go to medical school. Here it is. You read the law and you have it. And obviously, when there were other problems, God dealt with that too, and He gave the knowledge to the priesthood, and He didn't record everything. That's not the intent of the law. But the major things that were afflicting people. And so He says, you realize it's a plague of the law, and what is it you're supposed to do at this time? And shall be shown unto the priest. Right? You don't go to the HMO, you don't go to your physician, you don't go to your doctor, you see, you go to the priest. Whoever thinks about that today, you know, except some of us that, you know, when we want to be anointed, we go to the minister and ask him to pray for us. But at the same time, mind you, the priest was not only a minister in terms of the spiritual, he was also a physical minister, and he literally, you know, used medicine. Healthy medicine, herbal medicine, natural medicine, to treat those things, so he was both. And some people misunderstand that. When you go to the minister, they think, well, that's the end of the road. No. You got to do your part too, since you brought it upon yourself, and do whatever, you know, physical things that you need to do for it. You see? Because the priest, what could he do for you? You know, just look at it and says, oh yeah, well, it's leprosy. Well, you knew that to be before you came to him. Well, he does something beside that. You see? Quarantines you, you know, does, gives you instructions, tell you, take, you know, these herbs or those things, stop eating this, you know, whatever. So you see, the two go together. That's what people misunderstand about the priesthood or the ministry. Verse 50, and the priest shall look upon the plague, you see, and he say, oh, interesting, it's leprosy. No, that's not what it says, only. Yes, he looks on the plague, and shut up that which has the plague 7 days. You see, you got to do things too. Work, you know, work and faith, go together. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. And people don't say, oh, I thought you're supposed to anoint me and, you know, apply the sacrifice of, you know, in those days, couldn't say Jesus Christ, obviously, you know. But, you know, do something and that's it, it's gone. It doesn't work like that. And it doesn't work like that either today, because Christ is the same person, yesterday, today, and forever. Some of us, in our ignorance, you know, we kid ourselves that we think, you know, that's all I have to do. You know, I've got cancer, please pray for me. That's it. Lay hands on you, and it's all gone. It does not work like that. We got to do our part. We transgress the law, we must repent of it. And repentance means we have to go back and rectify what we have done and do what can be done. You see? And obviously, even today, there are still natural things, and there are also things that are not as natural, but that's the world we live in because we created it. And so we use both kind of medicines. And so it's a personal decision what people want to do with their own body. It's not up to the minister to tell them, or the priest, or, you know, the rabbi, or whatever else. And so, you know, the priest shuts up the person, because obviously, otherwise he's going to plague others too. And he should look on the plague on the seventh day, and if the plague be spread in the garment, or in the warp, or in the woof, or in the skin, whatever service skin is used, that is, whatever service skin is used for, the plague is a malignant leprosy. It is unclean. And he shall burn the garment, or the warp. You know, just like if your hand offends you, cut it off. See, that's symbolic, obviously, metaphor there. He's not necessarily saying, you know, take your hand and cut it off like they do in Saudi Arabia. What he means is, if you've got a problem in your life, get rid of it. Whatever it may be. Don't let it, you know, stick around, you know, whether it is a bottle, or drugs, or anything else. Totally get rid of it. Or friends, you know, that are leading you to the wrong place, get rid of them. Whatever it may be. That's what Christ is talking about, and people don't understand that. And here, literally, you know, the cloth, you know, that's a physical thing, get rid of it, burn it. And burn it in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, or in the warp, or in the woof, or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they, you know, wash the thing wherein the plague is. So, you know, they do physical things. And obviously, beside the washing, you know, there was physical thing that they could do too. There were herbs. There was knowledge there. A lot of things, you know, that God created, and a lot of those things to heal the body. You know, once we transgress the law, God created also those medicinal properties, and that's in essence what the world is doing. They're going to plants and to trees and to algae and to natural things that God created with medicinal purposes in them. And in order to make money, they don't give it to you fresh. You know, you can go and get it yourself. Oh, you know, they go through the pharmaceutical industry, and they process that and then create a greater potency there and things like that. And that's how they make a lot of money. And but basically, that's where they started, taking the natural things that God created to heal you. So even though they add, you know, things that they have no business adding to it, you know, still, you know, it heals people. It's not that it heals people, you know, only God can heal, but, you know, it helps in the process of healing. And, you know, every physician will tell you that, we cannot heal you, we can just work with the process that brings the healing. You know, you got to do your part. And so this is what it says here. Then, the priest shall command that they, mind you, you know, that's the language, the priest shall command, you do this, you see? Well, the priesthood, they had that authority, and the ministry still has that authority, you know, even though people have abused it and other people despise it. The word of God doesn't change. The truth of God doesn't change. You know, as Apostle Paul said about the Jews, so what if some of them did not believe? You know, does that make their faith, you know, the faith of God or the truth of God of none effect? Some people think that way, you see, and some people still think that way to this very day. What if the ministry abused their office and their authority? You know, and they were wrong about this point or that point. The truth of God remains truth. God doesn't change. And that does not mean we should now begin to have a contempt for the law of God, including about the authority of the ministry. Now, obviously, we don't want to hang around with people that abuse us and, you know, continue to be under their care. But the Word of God, our Word of God does not abuse us. And so the authority of the Word of God remains. And we must tremble at the Word of God. Not at the people that teach the Word of God, but at the Word of God. And if they are the people of God and teach the law of God, you better tremble not at them, never at people, but at the truth of God that is in the Word of God which they speak to you. And that's what he says here. You know, when the priest commands, it's because God told him to command, you see? And people know that, and therefore they obey the command of God spoken by the priest. It's not different today. So whatever comes out of our mouth, you know, if we're in authority, should be the word of God, not our own. And people better obey that. You see, because that's God we're talking about and not men. You know, these are not the words of men. If they are the words of men, well, my opinion is just as good as yours. No problem with that. God is not offended by that. When people say to the minister, hey, your opinion is just as good as mine, that's not the issue. The issue is when the minister or the priest or the rabbi or anybody else speaks the word of God, or even the devil. You see? Any man in false religion, you know, picks up the Bible and reads the scripture, truth is truth. It doesn't make any difference where it comes from. And must be obeyed. And so the priest commands that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look after that the plague is washed. So, things, physical things needed to be done beside washing also. And behold, if the plague have not changed its color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it in the fire. You know, get rid of it. All the things that may, you know, spread out, spread, you know, around, you know, the disease. You know, this is the medical profession that God gave us. We must study day and night. And the priesthood, you know, the ministry, whatever it may be, must know it very well. And had they continued to walk in the path that God taught us from the beginning of time, you see, the ministry would have done that too, would have followed those laws, and would have learned whatever needs to be learned about healing, not only the spiritual, you know, to give you the spiritual teaching, but also the physical things, and would have continued to function in that office, you see, of judges within the congregation, of healers, of lawyers, of physicians, of teachers, all these things. And this is the way God meant for it to be. He didn't say, well, you know, once the temple is gone, forget all about it. Now, you know, each one does that which is right in his own sight. You see? He made it very plain. No, the word of God stands forever as long as there is heaven and earth and people on this earth keep living by it. God never did away with that. People did. And the apostles certainly didn't do away with that. They continued to refer people to the temple, to the priesthood, and whatever they knew to do on their own, you know, when they were abroad in other places, they did it themselves. You know, and they also studied the Word of God day and night and knew how to pass on this information to begin with, they taught it to the brethren. And verse 56, we read, and if the priest look and behold the plague be dim after the washing thereof, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appear still in the garment, or in the warp, or in the woof, or in anything of the skin, it is breaking out, you shall burn that wherewith, that is wherein the plague is, that is whatever item that it touched. And obviously, that actually used to burn, and people still do it in the Middle East. You know, there's certain areas, you know, it sounds barbaric, but even the physicians used to do it until not too long ago. Nowadays they have other ways of doing it, you know, but they used to burn that part of the flesh. You can see it sometimes in the movie, you know, you see it in the movies about, you know, older movies, you know, things that happened in history. You see literally, you know, the physicians or people, you know, they actually burn a part of the flesh that was contaminated. That's what God is talking about. And, you know, hold a little fire to it, you burn those skin, you know, that part, and of course, you know, as they learned more and had more knowledge and understanding about herbal medicine that God gave them also, inspired them, so they could substitute later on, you know, the fire with other things. But, you know, you take iodine or you take things like that and you pour it on, you know how it hurts. That's what he's talking about. So he can burn it not only with fire, he can burn it with other things. But fire is a simple thing to do, you know, if you've got nothing else. That's what he's talking about here. So he shall burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, or the warp, or the woof, or whatsoever thing of skin it be. You see, even the skin itself, which you shall wash, it's going to hurt you a lot, but it's going to hurt you much more if you don't do it. That was the idea. So you take a schnapps, you know, or a drink, or vodka, or whatever, you know, and put it on. That's what they do, people in the open, when they've got nothing else. That's what they do in war, too. So if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean. And this is the Torah of the plague of leprosy. And it's the Torah that God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle from that Torah will pass away. You know, this is a subdivision, obviously, of the entirety of it. And this is the Torah, the plague of leprosy, in a garment of wool or linen or in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. And so this is what the priest was responsible for doing and had to teach his people to do. And by the way, the week where they read this portion of the law in the synagogue, you know, the portion of the prophets they go to, is the leprosy of Naaman. And obviously the two are linked. And for some, you know, who may not know the story, why do they read the prophets? When did that begin? That began with the days of Antiochus, you know, the feast of Hanukkah. If some of you haven't heard about it, the feast of dedication, where we find Jesus Christ in the temple keeping this feast, because it was an event that happened in the history of his own people, and he was a Jew, and there were Jews, and obviously he would be there like everybody else. And during that time, the law was forbidden to be read in the synagogue by Antiochus. And so the Jews looked around, you know, what can we do under the circumstances? We're not allowed to read the law, you know, under the death of the penalty of death, unless you do it in private. But in order to continue to do it in the synagogue in public, you see, it didn't forbid them to go to the synagogue, it just forbid them to read the Torah on the Sabbath. So they looked to the prophets and looked for portions of the Torah, that is, of the prophets. The whole thing is the Torah anyway. They understood it. Teachings of God, that's what it means. That's what Jesus Christ would say. Speaking about the psalm, doesn't it say, in your Torah, you see, in your law, I said, you are gods, you are Elohim. You see, he used that very thing. So that shows you, the entirety of the teachings of the scriptures are called the Torah, body of teaching. And so they went to all those portions that are relevant, you know, that are similar to portions of the law that they read that week, and that's what they do. And so every portion of the prophet that they read, you would notice that if you have a book where you have both of them in it, it's always relevant to that. And that made it possible for Christ, when it came to the synagogue that first week, that he went to the synagogue, and, you know, first he read the law, and after that, you know, he read the portion of the prophet, and it happened. It's not that it happened, that was not a coincidence, it just worked out that way. And he went in particular on that Sabbath, knowing what is supposed to be read there in terms of the prophets, and so he read a portion of the prophet of Isaiah about his own commission. And that's the way it worked. Well, anyway, this is what we see here. Just a side comment. Let's go now to chapter 14. And again, and the Lord, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and Jesus, you might say, spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the Torah of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now that all is over and done, and, you know, and the people obeyed the law of God, and the priest did his part, and all the medicine, you know, that was dispensed at that time, the period of time that went in between, you see, it's not just lay hands and everything is gone. That's how God was going to heal his people, and he still does today like that. You see, the anointing, you know, it does not mean this is what removes the sickness and disease. That's just the beginning of the process. Now you're saying you are coming under the authority of God. And people misunderstand that. They think what it means, if you do that, everything's going to go. Well, sometimes God chooses immediately to intervene. But other times, as all of us realize, it takes a long time before that thing goes away. And people think, well, you know, the first time it didn't take, so let me get anointed again. And that's foolishness. That means no understanding of the law of God. If you already came under the law of God, under the divine, you know, healing and authority of God, we don't need to do it again and again and again and again. All it means is that we must do what God now requires us to do, that we are willing to come under His wings and under His authority. Now we should do our part that He revealed to us in the Scriptures. And people have no knowledge and understanding. They don't know what to do with it. And it becomes sort of a superstition to go to the priest or the minister and to get anointed. And that's why, and oftentimes you realize nothing happens. In verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the Torah of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. You see? And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. You don't do it in the tabernacle, in the holy place. And the priest shall look, because that's where the person is, out of the camp, you know, throw him out of the camp, so to speak. You know, we don't want him around to profane everybody, and, you know, cause everybody to be sick likewise. So you see what people had to go through, because they were not careful and, you know, about certain laws of God. So the priest now goes out of the camp, just like the holy high priest, Jesus Christ, had to go out of the camp to deal with the sinners. And there he paid for their sin. You see the spiritual analogy there? It's all there all along. You know, just read deeper into it and study it and spend on it a lot of time, and you're going to begin to see the depth and the riches that are in these supposedly boring scriptures. You're going to realize how impoverished, how naked and poor and miserable and wretched we were, thinking that we are rich and increasing good, and we lack nothing. We don't need the law, you know, it's old stuff. Jewish, who needs it? We've got Christ. We've got nothing. We're just kidding ourselves. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ here is telling the priest to do, to enact his own later on action when he, of course, he was taken, he was carried out, but then he took his cross, you see. He literally took his cross and went out of town to be crucified. And here is the priest enacting that, in essence, going out of town, going to visit, you know, that leper out there in the boonies, so to speak, and look at him, because God doesn't want to see people in the holy congregation. And so he went out and looks at the person, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed, and you know, that is in the leper, then shall the priest command, notice the language, to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two living clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Well, what do they mean? Oh, no, cedar wood, you know. This is just strange things that God says, hey, let's have a little fun there and come up with a strange ceremony here. No, everything has to do with spiritual connotations. The scarlet, you know, the blood, symbolizing the blood, you know, the shedding of blood. The sickness, you know, and the blood of Jesus Christ. The hyssop is the cleansing agent. That's what David says, cleanse me with hyssop in Psalm 51. Why is he mentioning the hyssop? And people eat hyssop. And you know, there are a lot of medicines that have hyssop, and hyssop is a cleansing agent, you know. People, you know, synthesize that and make it a synthetic instead of having the natural things. And, but there are herbs out there with hyssop in it. You take that, you purify your blood, you purify you know, your system inside. And it's very good for you. And so, those are symbolic things. And also, they're going to be applied in the sacrifice. And also, those things were applied on the wounds of people. And so he said, you take cedar wood and scarlet and the hyssop, and the priest shall command to kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel. And mind you, it's an earthen vessel, something you can break up to that because that was a sin offering, over running water. You see, by the washing of the word, you begin to understand that. And when you read all these things, it's not old stuff. It's all deeply spiritual food. That's why Paul said, you know, they ate spiritual food. They drank spiritual drink. You see, because they followed the spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. So here's Jesus Christ teaching them spiritual truth, magnifying the law for those who were willing to listen and understand when they were asking questions. What does it all mean? And the priest will explain to them. The Levite will explain to them. You see, it has also spiritual connotation. But when people depart from the law of God, they lose that too. And so when Christ was coming, this is what he was telling them. You know, when he saw them pouring water on the day of the last great day, he reminded them that he is that source of water, and those who will come to him out of their belly are going to have to go to somebody else. He said, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Do we consider ourselves in that? Are we in that category, you know, where rivers of water are flowing out of our belly of spiritual truth? Not if we don't eat the law of God day and night and drink it. Not if we don't eat the flesh of Jesus Christ and drink His blood. Not if we not meditate on it day and night instead of all the many hours we spend on television and Nintendos and internet and books and novels and everything else and games and baseball and football. That's our life. Foolishness. Vanity of vanities, Solomon would say. All vapor. When it's all gone, what do you have left? Instead of being busy about eating the blood, that is drinking the blood of Jesus Christ and eating His flesh, that is studying the study of His law. It's not that you do it day and night and do nothing else. But whatever you do, that is on your mind. You see the spiritual connotation everywhere. And you walk through life, in the street, in a car, whatever, and the Bible comes to life because you see it, the living thing. It becomes a real thing too, a living thing. and you're in the bosom of God day and night all that way instead of in the bosom of the devil, in the depth of Satan, as Paul would say. And so here it is. He takes all those things and he goes to a stream of running water. You know, you don't go to a pond where nothing is moving. It's running water, living water, flowing water. And you see the spiritual connotation there, and that's the place where people should be baptized too. You see, running water. That's where John the Baptist were baptizing, in running water, in the Jordan. Because that had, you know, spiritual symbolism there. Not stinking water, you know, standing in one place. Where you have mosquitoes and things like that. Verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them with the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Just like you see with the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. You know, one goat was alive, one goat was dead. Both of them had the sins of Israel placed upon them. Yet one symbolized the devil, sin, and the other one, Jesus Christ, who is taking it upon himself. And you see it everywhere. What's so boring about this information? You see? Let's think about it. And so, he said, you do that, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy. And it's all that symbolic. You know, if it's not, you know, it's symbolic, it's a weird ceremony. You know, that's what you think, you know, witchcraft and all these things. And that's what witchcraft is all about. They're trying to imitate the truth of God, only with their own source, with their own spirit. Well, anyway, we're going to stop it this morning. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.